He was following orders. Officially, he wasn't there. Wasn't even in this country. Greg Kaplan walked across the street toward the restaurant, reflecting on his handler's final instructions. Disappear until you locate the woman. The restaurant was exactly where his friend had described, a few blocks south of the Arkansas River and just west of downtown Little Rock on Rebsamen Park Road. From the outside, it appeared to be a small building with an unexciting front exposure. In reality, it was not small at all. Like a row house, it was narrow and deep. A striped awning, faded from too many years in the sun, hung from the cracked and weathered facade. Four empty tables with open umbrellas were arranged behind a 3-foot-high wrought iron fence guarding the street-level entrance. Now, on a late August evening, with humidity at 85% and the temperature still hanging near 90, it was no wonder all the tables outside were empty. In the South, they were called the Dog Days, that period from July until mid-September, when the sultry days were fraught with high temperatures, high humidity, and hot, suffocating breezes. That is, if there was any breeze at all. The dog days seemed to last longer now, what with climate change seeming to become a reality. They came sooner and stayed later. He reached for the doorknob and hesitated. Something inside his gut urged him to run like hell and put Little Rock in his rearview mirror. But he didn't. Perhaps his instincts were wrong. They had misled him before, but only when he got too close. He looked up and down the street, surveying for any sign that might explain this feeling. Nothing looked out of the ordinary in this small corner of Little Rock. It just felt wrong. Or maybe he was just tired. It had been a long day, after all. He entered the restaurant anyway, knowing his decision would prove to be uneventful, destiny, or plain old bad luck. It didn't take him long to figure out which it was. Within minutes after he set foot inside the restaurant and sat down, he recognized the impending threat. He'd seen similar situations before, several times, and each time somebody died. He should have listened to his gut. He had no reason to get involved, yet without his help, innocent people might die. He possessed the skills and knew he couldn't sit idly by and do nothing. He never could. Protect and defend was the oath he took when he joined the army. And even though it had been decades since he left special forces for a career on the civilian side of the government, that oath had become part of his ingrained psyche, and he had to get involved, even if it meant blowing his cover. It was the right thing to do. Kaplan sat at a corner table near the front door, allowing him full view of the open-air dining room, full view of anyone entering or leaving, a force of habit developed from years of specialized training. The same force of habit that compelled him to subconsciously evaluate everyone in the room, assessing each one for potential threats. Mental programming, courtesy of the United States government. A finely honed skill infused into an integral part of his everyday life. Every thought process, every observation became a situational analysis. It might seem like a paranoid existence to many, but if truth were told, it had saved his ass on more occasions than he cared to remember. The Cajun restaurant was divided into two basic sections, the dining room and the bar, separated by a waist-high wooden rail. The dining area had a row of booths against the wall, a row of tables in the middle, and another row of booths along the rail, every table jammed close together to maximize seating capacity in the long, narrow space. Dark wooden floors, along with the faded cedar-paneled walls, gave the restaurant its rustic appearance. Pictures of the unique culture of New Orleans, such as Zydeco bands and jazz musicians, flanked each window. Acoustics were loud, voices carried, and the tantalizing aroma of spicy Cajun food filled the air and permeated his clothes. On initial scan, Kaplan counted 23 other patrons, and even 24 counting himself. Then there were the hostess, the two overworked waitresses, who were both dressed in matching khaki shorts and t-shirts, a bartender, and no telling how many kitchen workers in the back. 9 couples sat at 6 different tables. None of them caused him any concern. To his left was a table with 2 men, one mid-30s in jeans and a sports coat, accompanying a silver-haired senior wearing khaki slacks and a dark blue tropical print shirt. To Kaplan's trained eye, he could tell the younger man was probably law enforcement. It wasn't the clothes. He was dressed like many men who had been in their clothes all day.